if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be here with you today. Welcome to the 2A Radio Show. I want to discuss something that happens with unknowledgeable shooters or people who just don't seem to take the time to do something properly. Or, third option would be, somebody just simply doesn't know how to do something properly. That happens to do with negligent discharges with the Glock semi-automatic pistol. It really doesn't matter what caliber because they all operate the same. Now, let me qualify the term negligent discharge. An accidental discharge is commonly referred to as when a gun goes off when you don't want it to go off. In fact, an accidental discharge would only be caused by an unhandled gun, generally, that had no finger on the trigger whatsoever. Those are almost completely non-existent and would nearly always be a problem with the ammunition and or the firing pin or striker of the gun. Negligence is generally what causes a gun to go bang when you otherwise would not want it to go bang. So that's what we're talking about. Negligent discharges. Accidental almost do not exist. The last time I know of an accidental discharge is a guy that I know that had a 50 caliber rifle that the firing pin was still pushing forward, and when he went to load the new 50 BMG round into this single shot rifle, it went, and it cost him an eye. And that was about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago. Anyhow, with the Glock semi-automatic pistols, you have to press the trigger in order to release the slide, take the gun apart and clean it, and do your basic maintenance. If you don't check the chamber to ensure that the chamber is empty before you do this, the gun goes bang. And I get emails every few months showing somebody that put a hole through their hand. The most recent one was through their foot. Sometimes it's down the leg. And they're putting holes into themselves because they're taking the magazine out, not checking the chamber, pressing the trigger so they can take the gun apart with some body part in front of the muzzle, having never checked the chamber. Let me tell you how simple it is to check a chamber. You reach over the top of the slide, over those grasping grooves towards the rear. It's behind the ejection port. Don't cover the ejection port. Behind the ejection port. Basically over the rear sight for the most part. Put your palm on one side, your fingers on the other. Don't do this slingshot method with the index finger and the thumb. Pull it back and look into the chamber. Matter of fact, I don't care. Go ahead. Use the index finger and the thumb. Turn the gun sideways so the ejection port is facing up so you can see it. Index finger and thumb if you like. Pull it back about a half an inch. If you see brass, then the chamber is loaded, and look down into the chamber to make sure there's no brass sitting there that maybe had a dirty or busted extractor and left around there. If you see brass there, unload the gun before depressing the trigger to release the slide. If everybody who owned or operated a Glock pistol just heard this information and would practice this before they disassemble a Glock, we never have to see those emails or hear about it again. That's all you gotta do. More good information coming your way after the break.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, a British subject was held after confronting a gang at his home. A businessman was held on suspicion of attempted murder after confronting a gang of youths who allegedly threatened to kill his wife and attack his stepson outside their home. Colin Philpott was roused from bed and, still barefoot, challenged the group as his stepson Alex was battered in the front yard of the family's £500,000 property, as in money. That'd be what? £500,000 British pounds, about $750,000. So a nice home. In the scuffle which followed, one of the youths, named locally as Josh Hassler, was stabbed a number of times and collapsed in the street. Police were called, leading to the arrest of Mr. Philpott and five of the youths, aged 16 and 17. The incident took place in an estate in Crownthorne, Berks, which residents said had been plagued by problems with drunk and rowdy teenagers from outside the area who congregate at a nearby park. Mr. Philpott's wife, Suzanne, said she confronted the gang on Friday night after her husband's van was damaged. This was all so very surreal and scary. You never expected this kind of violence to happen in your neighborhood, let alone on your doorstep, said Mrs. Philpott, a training consultant. When the police arrived and arrested Colin, it was gobsmacked. When the police arrived and arrested Colin, I was gobsmacked. It was heartbreaking to see him handcuffed and carted off like a common criminal. He is a hard-working, honest family man. She continues to say, any action taken by my husband was as a result of a desire to protect his family and loved ones and to defend his property, end quote. Mrs. Philpott said her neighborhood had recently experienced problems with drunken behavior involving youths. She said she and her son left their home after they heard a bang. She said, we saw two young guys outside our house. When we saw a big dent in my husband's van, Alex asked them if they had done it. They denied it and disappeared off around the corner. They returned 15 minutes later with three others and were all visibly drunk. When they started shouting outside the house, we came out again, and this time I took a digital camera with me and told them if they vandalized anything else, I'd take pictures as evidence. It was then that one particularly drunk and rowdy teenager threatened me. He said that if I took a picture, he would kill me and burn down my house. I was terrified by his words, and when Alex tried to calm him down, the other four got worked up, and the gang attacked him. He ended up on the ground with all five of those youths on him, kicking him in the head and stomach. I was so frightened for him that I screamed for Colin, who until this point had been in bed. He came running out, still barefoot and half asleep, and saw the mess that Alex was in. In the blink of an eye, the lads attacked Colin, and I saw one stumble onto the road as Colin screamed for me to call the police and ambulance services. Mrs. Philpott's 25-year-old son was treated in hospital for a broken nose and concussion. The 16-year-old boy, who was stabbed five times in the chest, was said to be in stable condition at Royal Berkshire Hospital. It was believed that a letter opener, may have been involved in the incident. Police arrested Mr. Philpott, 57, who runs an escalator cleaning company, on suspicion of attempted murder. He was held in custody. Mrs. Philpott, 51, said the tree-lined road where the family lives has been blighted by unruly teenagers attacking cars and pulling up plants and flowers from gardens for several months. Earlier this month, Mr. Philpott's Jaguar S-Type was smeared with hair gel while it was parked in the driveway. Stephen Webb, a neighbor, said, they do get a lot of drinking and trouble down at that end of the road. Yesterday, police installed a panic alarm at Philpott's five-bedroom home in case they were targeted again. A spokesman for Thames Valley Police said that three 17-year-olds and two 16-year-old boys had been arrested on suspicion of assault and criminal damage and were in custody. Police added last night that Mr. Philpott had been released on bail. Okay, so here's the story where this guy goes out to defend his son who's getting the absolute hell whipped out of him. and ends up taking a letter opener, as it would sound, and stabbing some kid in the chest five times who wouldn't stop attacking. And that is now attempted murder? That's self-defense. Now, in the UK, there is no law for self-defense. You cannot claim self-defense. At no time in the United Kingdom am I aware, over the last decade, that anyone can claim self-defense. There is no right to self-defense. There's a God-given right by birth, but the UK does not recognize it. They just don't. You cannot claim self-defense. These bad guy thugs, these drunken teenagers in this particular case, have more rights than the people that they're harassing or attacking. Can you imagine if that were going on here in the U.S.? As poor as society is today, especially in the urban areas of this country, in the cities, as poor as society behaves in the cities as a whole, could you imagine if we had absolutely no right to self-protection? None. It would be an absolute field day. Why do you think these teenagers keep just tormenting the people who live in this particular neighborhood? Because they can get away with it. Their behavior is rewarded in the way of being ignored. If you do something and it's ignored, it must be okay. Would you agree? If you go outside and spit on the sidewalk and it's ignored, would you be more inclined to do it again? Sure. If you double park on the streets of Manhattan and it's ignored, are you going to be more prone to do it again? Well, sure. However, if you spit on the sidewalk, everyone looks at you with an eye of disgust, and maybe the local security guy out front say, hey, don't spit on the sidewalk in front of this building. You might be less inclined to do that again. If you get your car towed for double parking in Manhattan, you'd probably be less inclined to double park again. These guys in this particular neighborhood in the UK, these drunken teenagers, and the likes of which were abound in this neighborhood, as reported, don't have anything but affirmation that what they're doing is acceptable because they're being ignored. Well, if you're looking for attention and you're doing something bad, you're going to get worse and worse and worse. Your behavior is going to go down the drain, going to be more and more reprehensible until someone finally addresses you about it. And then you back off just a little bit and you do as much as you can get away with. In the cities of this country, the cities in the U.S. that have very, very strict gun control laws on this inalienable right, you have really high crime rates. You have very, very high crime rates in a lot of areas. Look at South Central L.A. Look throughout New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and of course, Washington, D.C. Incredibly strict gun laws, anti-gun laws, I should say. Not strict gun laws as in, we're strictly going to enforce that everyone needs to be armed and trained. Right? If everyone were armed and trained, would there be very many bad guys? No. And the crime that you would see when it came to things such as knife or gun attacks or any sort of murder or attempted murder would generally be crimes of passion, not premeditated crimes that are going on. You just wouldn't see that. People be too afraid because everyone would be armed and trained. An armed society truly is a polite society when you've got an educated populace. An armed society is a polite society when you've got an educated populace. You can take different countries around the world that do not have education standards, at least certainly nowhere near what the Western world has. And you can arm a bunch of people who really have no education standards, who have no real social standards, and arm them, and it's absolute mayhem. You can see that throughout the continent of Africa with religious zealots. That's all the education they've got is, this is what God says, and this is what you need to do. oftentimes produced and put out there on audio tapes because of the high rates of illiteracy. You give them an audio tape, you give them a gun, you give them something to listen to get them all wound up, and then you have problems. We have that in some areas of South America. Some areas of South America, even where there is a reasonable education system, but you've got a lot of people on the take, a lot of criminals. You've got a lot of criminal enterprises with drugs, cocaine, whatever it might be. If you take a rather normalized, educated society and you arm them, it becomes very, very polite. When I carry exposed, which I do the majority of the time when I'm carrying is exposed, I have more polite people talking to me. I have more people talk to me, and more people talk to me in a polite tone than if I'm carrying concealed or not carrying, which generally I am. But otherwise, they just don't know. If you got a gun on it, it's exposed, and you're carrying yourself professionally, like an upstanding member of society. Your hair's washed, your teeth are brushed, your clothes are clean and look decent. You're walking around doing decent things in decent areas and being a good member of society. When I do that, I get more people that actually talk to me. Hey, how you doing? Pretty good. How about yourself? Just everyday polite things going on. You're listening to a segment from the Best of Bill Carnes on 2A Radio. Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443. I have a real issue that I have taken with Department of Homeland Security. The reason being, the Department of Homeland Security was created after 9/11 under Bush and finally became a cabinet-level position. They get extra billions of dollars, and a number of different already existing federal agencies were encompassed under the new DHS banner. And Department of Homeland Security has failed to secure the homeland in several ways. If you want to sneak into the United States, overland seems to be the easiest way to do it. Overland from Mexico seems to be the number one easiest way to do it. Now, many of you are not familiar with this. Some of you very well may be. Department of Homeland Security puts out a bulletin every single day, every Monday through Friday. And those bulletins go out to different sectors within the U.S. government. And you have to have a certain level of security clearance to get the different DHS reports that come out. And I used to get those daily daily news updates, things that are going on. And it's incredibly interesting, a lot of the stuff that happens. When they say, you know, we've stopped a lot of terrorist acts before they've happened, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But the huge hole that I saw was something that should be of no surprise to anyone else. And that is insurgency into this country via the incredibly porous U.S.-Mexican border is unreal. And DHS has failed to stop that. Nearly anyone that wants to come into the U.S. can do so via Mexico. And how tough is it to get into Mexico? That ain't. Where there's a will, there's a way. Here's a little story for you. It's called Political Opinion is Not a Hate Crime. What's wrong with this picture? The federal government spends billions on Homeland Security, but apparently can't stop foreigners from illegally crossing the border or overstaying their visas. The Obama regime wants to bring violent terrorists captured overseas to the mainland and close the military detention center at Guantanamo Bay. Yet, in the latest bizarre twist, legislation quietly making its way through Congress would give the White House power to categorize political opponents as hate groups and even send Americans to detention centers on abandoned military bases. Representative Alcee Hastings. Alcee Hastings, she is an impeached Florida judge. Nancy Pelosi tried to install her as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee until her own party members rebelled. Introduced an amendment to the Defense Authorization Bill that gives Attorney General Eric Holder sole discretion to label groups that oppose government policy on guns, abortion, immigration, states' rights, or a host of other issues. In a June 25th speech on the House floor, Representative Trent Franks, a Republican from Arizona, blasted the idea with these comments. This sounds an alarm for many of us because of the recent, shocking, and offensive report released by the Department of Homeland Security, which labeled arguably a majority of Americans as extremists. Another Hastings bill, H.R. 645, authorizes $360 million in 2009 and 2010 to set up not fewer than six national emergency centers on military installations capable of housing a large number of individuals affected by an emergency or major disaster. But Section 2B allows the Secretary of Homeland Security to use the camps, quote, to meet other appropriate needs, end quote, none of which are specified. This is the kind of blank check that Congress should never sign. It's not paranoid to be extremely wary of legislation that would give two unelected government officials power to legally declare someone a domestic terrorist and send them to a government-run camp. After all, the federal government has done exactly this sort of thing before. During World War II, more than 120,000 law-abiding Japanese Americans were rounded up by the government and confined for 4 years in 10 internment camps surrounded by barbed wire and armed guards. Joy Kagawa chronicled her trauma her family experienced firsthand under FDR's executive orders. Families were made to move in 2 hours, abandon everything, leaving pets and possessions at gunpoint. It was wrong then, it would be doubly wrong now should members of Congress somehow fail to learn from past mistakes. Now, I've said several times on this show how America has become progressively more stupid. And only people who really want to know what's going on ever really learn what's going on. Unfortunately, that stupidity is all over Capitol Hill. You're listening to the best of Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Let me tell you something. The difference between amateurs and professionals. Amateurs train until they get it right. Professionals train until they can't get it wrong. I want to thank a very good friend of mine, a guy by the name of Michael Perez, for giving me that short little snippet, that short little definition between amateurs and professionals years ago. Amateurs train until they get it right. Professionals train until they can't get it wrong. I say that because if you are going to carry a gun for a living, you are, by sheer definition, a professional. If you're getting paid to do something, you're a professional. Just by looking up the definition of professional in the dictionary. If you're not getting paid to do it, you are an amateur. However, I have to pre-qualify a couple of things here. If you're going to carry a gun outside of the home, if you're going to carry a gun, actually, if you're going to carry a gun, period, you should carry it as though you're getting paid to do it. You have to act under professional standards or above to be able to carry a gun in case the unfortunate incident occurs that you need to use it to defend your life or that of someone else. The riot of the day comes out of Fayetteville, Arkansas, where recently the police were called to a 26-year-old woman's house by the name of Jill Ulmer. She was being stabbed by her 41-year-old boyfriend, Ricky Anderson. When the police arrived, two cops, they take out their guns and they go to shoot Ricky Anderson. The suspect, who's in front of the officer's face, is stabbing his girlfriend, Jill Ulmer, potentially to death with this knife. They open fire. Ricky goes down. Jill is down. As it turns out, it was stray rounds from the officer's guns that did Jill Ulmer in. They were there trying to protect her by shooting Ricky Anderson, but had not trained up to the point where they were up to the task, and it ended up killing Ricky Anderson's intended victim, doing him a favor. Police also confirmed that Jill Ulmer was pregnant. That is the huge slap in the face. Why I chose this story to be the riot of the day. If you are in law enforcement, and part of your duty is to carry a gun, you would be responsible for this woman and her unborn child's death if that were you pressing the trigger in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You should not allow it to happen to you. You have no idea, folks, how many cops believe that their gun is just for show. The reason being, even in the academies of today, you will get the old curmudgeons in there that have said, in my 32 years of carrying a gun out here on the streets of Hoboken, I've never had to pull it in the line of duty, or I've never had to fire it in the line of duty. That's great. But I've got to tell you, with the degradation of society today, I flat guarantee you, anybody within the past decade and forward is going to be a police officer or has gotten into the business and is going to be there through retirement time, 20 years or more, absolutely, positively will pull that gun in the line of duty. And a much higher percentage than ever before will be firing it in the line of duty. The days of old, the days of 30 years on the force, never even had to pull my gun out of the holster, are over. They've been over for the last 10 or 12 years. If you've been on the force that long and you've never pulled your gun out, in the last 10 to 15 years, that means you've been riding a desk or sitting in some administrative sort of position that has kept you off of the street. I guarantee it. Or you took over for Andy in Mayberry. That's all there is to it. Chances are you will be using that gun in the line of duty, not just pulling it out. Pulling it out's a given. And if it comes out, you'd better be prepared to use it. And on top of that, you'd better be proficient enough to use it. You better have trained so well that you can't get it wrong. Because otherwise, things are going to come down on you. If nothing else, these cops, if they don't get in trouble for this, for taking Jill Ulmer and her infant daughter, I'm sorry, her, she was pregnant, right? So taking her fetus's life. They, if nothing else, have to live with that. Do you want to have to live with it? I hope not. I hope no one ever is faced with having to realize they made that mistake. I hope to God. That's just not the police, folks. That's you and I. You're getting attacked in a parking lot outside of a super center or Walmart or Home Depot late at night, whatever it may be. You've got to take your gun out and defend yourself because you're in fear of loss of life or serious bodily injury for yourself or someone that's with you. So you take out your gun and you shoot the bad guy. Or I should say you shoot at the bad guy. And if you miss, those rounds are screaming down range and they hit someone else. You've got to live with that. You shouldn't have to live with that. Other people shouldn't have to live with getting hit with bullets that weren't sent down range with their name on them. It was addressed to whom it may concern. Those are the bullets to look out for. If there's a bullet with your name on it, there's not much you can do about it. There's just not. But the ones addressed to whom it may concern are the ones to look out for. And if you're the one delivering those to whom it may concern bullets, then you shouldn't be carrying a gun. You should not be carrying a gun. And taking your old washing machine, your old beer bottles, and your old soda cans out, maybe a watermelon and a couple of grapefruits, out to the dump that you call a range, and blasting holes in this stuff, and woohoo, whooping it up, whooping and hollering with your buddies. I would like to ask of you to never carry those guns in defense. If you're just going to be a filthy pig about it, leave your guns at home. Leave them in the truck rack and don't take them out. Because if that's the type of a person that you are when it comes to being a gun owner, you're exactly the type of person that I don't need listening to this show unless you hope to change and upgrade your habits. Otherwise, turn the show off right now. I've got no interest in having that, which is it's what the people who are not gun owners or not active shooters, the perception that they have of gun owners in America. You know, missing a few teeth, Bubba and his buddies out there in their jacked up four-wheel drive pickup, whooping and holler, drinking beer and blasting every piece of trash that they drug out of the yard of their single wide. That's the perception of gun owners in America. And we've done it to ourselves by allowing that sort of thing to go on. All right? If you're going to carry a gun for self-defense, you've got to train to the point where you can't get it wrong. And going to your local indoor range and shooting at a bullseye target, leaning back in a crappy stance, mashing 4 out of 5 shots, ain't getting it done. If that's you, which is the average shooter out there, you've got to go get training. And don't go to somebody that you know who's a cop. Just because they have a badge doesn't mean they know how to shoot. Ask Jill Ulmer. She's dead now. You're going to have to Ouija board and seance her to ask her. But she could tell you that just because they have a badge doesn't mean they know how to shoot. Do not make that mistake. Some of the worst shots I know of are cops that are under the false belief because they have a badge and they went through some basic level of training at the police academy and they have to qualify anywhere between 1 and 4 times a year that they know how to shoot. Well, the fact is they know how to put their finger on a trigger, mash it to the rear, and hear the gun go bang. If that's shooting in their definition, then yes, they know how to shoot. If they know how to hit their target in a variety of lights, a variety of conditions, a variety of the any environmental condition that there is, to be able to identify and, if necessary, engage a hostile target with rounds from whatever gun they've got, be it a handgun, shotgun, or rifle, or submachine gun, depending on what job function you may have. If you're able to do that, then you've trained to the proper level. If you're not able to do that, then you haven't trained. I was eating lunch, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, with a good friend of mine who recently passed away in April. a guy by the name of Mike Leone. Mike and I taught together out at Front Sight many years ago. He left the organization. He was a state of Nevada law enforcement officer. He worked in a couple different divisions within the state. His last assignment, he was with the Nevada Taxi Cab Authority. That's the group of cops that actually exist to go after taxi cabs, limo drivers, buses that come in, commercial buses that bring tours in and such. That's their job. And Mike was a great guy, just an excellent human being, one of the top guys I knew, one of the guys I would call if I needed reference or I needed clarification on something. One of the guys that had so much respect for me that I would call him on top of the hundreds of people that call me on, an annual basis for advice. Mike was one of the few people I would call for references if maybe something wasn't entirely clear with me or I wanted somebody that I trusted to bounce some ideas off of. I'm sitting at a Marie Callender's restaurant with Mike, and we're having lunch, and he's in uniform. And a guy that I went to the police academy with years before came up to us, and he had been eating in there. He knew Mike, and he remembered me from the police academy. A guy by the name of Steve, I won't give out his last name. He works for Las Vegas Metro. He was a sergeant at the time, an admin sergeant, and he's on the lieutenant's list. So he was pretty much out of the field for the most part. He had just left to go out for lunch, but for the most part, he was an admin, above the beat cop sort of a guy. And I noticed in his holster, he had a Glock and he had night sights on it. Now, Las Vegas Metro will either issue you a crappy Smith & Wesson, 659, I think, is their issue gun, or they have a huge list of approved guns. You can give your gun to one of the guys at the range. They look at it, okay, it's good. You go out and qualify with it, okay, great, that's your duty gun. So you see a huge variety of guns that are out there, which I am fine with. I actually like the idea. So I looked at it, and I figure, all right, he's got a Glock. He's got night sights on it. Chances are he probably knows a thing or two. So I said, hey, Steve, what do you have there? Is that a Model 22 Glock in your holster? He says, no, that's a Model 17 compensated, which means it's a 9mm with ports in the top of the slide and barrel to vent the gases so he doesn't get too much recoil out of a 9mm in a full-size handgun. There's negligible recoil to even be considered in any 9mm, let alone a full-size Glock, and he's got one that's compensated. So right then and there I knew he had no idea what he was doing. Defensive shooters don't carry compensated guns. Defensive shooters who know what they're doing do not carry compensated guns. Here was a cop, career guy, obviously. He's on the lieutenant's list. I'm sure he's made lieutenant by now. He's worked the streets. He's worked traffic. He's been on, specialized on motorcycles. He's gone into admin. He should ought to know about this sort of thing. He's carrying a compensated 9mm Glock. So I offered him the opportunity to take a course, a 4-day course, free of charge. And he's, it's okay, because this thing is pretty much just for show. If I need to use it, I can pull it out and use it. But I'm admin now. I don't, really need that. And I looked at him, and I said, Steve, I've got three words for you. He said, really, what's that? I said, famous last words. I said, you just had a sergeant get killed in the line of duty who probably had the same thought in mind. And he rushed in on a guy who was firing a semi-automatic rifle at the police. And he got shot because he wasn't prepared. He didn't understand his tactics. He didn't know what he was doing. I said, you may find yourself in that position from the time you leave this restaurant and you arrive back at your office a good couple miles away. You may find yourself having to respond to that same call. And right this minute, you are not prepared. They said, I'm worried about that. So I stopped. I didn't bother talking to him about it anymore. He had already made up his mind. I wasn't going to sit there and waste my time. If I was able to call the sheriff and say, send Steve out for 4 days worth of training, pay him to do it, give him the ammo, I'll offer the course for free, Steve would still not have shown up. If he was paid to go with free ammo, he had absolutely no interest in it. Now, that is the wrong attitude for both cops and people that carry on a regular basis for self-defense. That is the wrong attitude. And if you can't train so hard that you can't get it wrong, if you don't dedicate yourself to doing it, you don't have any business out there carrying a gun. Because someone other than the bad guy that you're defending yourself against is likely to soak up a round or more, or even several people might soak up some of your errant rounds. That is absolutely unacceptable. Unacceptable. So this woman calls the police because her boyfriend's going nuts. By the time they show up, he's on top of her, stabbing her with a knife. They pull out their guns to shoot him, end up hitting her. The coroner says that it was the bullets, the gunshots from the police guns, that actually caused her death. So at that point in time, she had not been stabbed so much that she was unrepairable. They say that the bullets killed her from the cops, from her saviors. So do they do anybody any good? The answer is no. I am absolutely appalled that people who carry guns, whether it's for a living or for self-defense, do not put in the time and effort and the mental acuity for dealing with this sort of thing and don't train up to the level. They certainly should. More after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Here's a little story for you called The Police and Weapons Confiscation. According to this article, some police officers are worried about the future and our Second Amendment rights. I can only hope that they're sincere and willing to stand for the Constitution and refuse to disarm the average Joe citizen when the order is given, even though there is a federal law and laws throughout the majority of the states prohibiting such action. A few will, the majority won't, I suspect. Think about it. If you were caught carrying a concealed handgun, even though you were legal in every other way, how many police officers would shake your hand while congratulating you on your choice of firepower? Most likely, you would be shoved to the ground, beat, handcuffed, thrown in jail, and maybe even tased somewhere along the line. Sure, there are decent cops who will refuse to follow orders of confiscation, but the majority will follow those orders for the sake of keeping their jobs and their guns. They will obey orders to enforce the law, no matter how unconstitutional those laws may be. Remember the National Guard going house to house confiscating guns in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina? Much like Germany from 1933 through 1939, they were just following orders. If you put a frog in boiling water, it'll jump right out. But put it in at room temperature, then turn up the heat and slowly bring to a boil, the frog will just sit there and die without trying to jump from the pot. This is what's happening to our rights as we speak. Every day, those in power chip away at our freedoms, becoming more oppressive with every stroke of the congressional pen. Most not noticing the burner being turned up, not even 1 degree at a time. Unfortunately, by the time they realize what's happening, it's too late. They've already been disarmed and enslaved. What do you think? Is the police on our side, or will they just follow orders? Time will tell, because I guarantee it's going to come down to it eventually. Eventually, it will come down to it. I guarantee it. Now, there is a group known as Oath Keepers. Now, Oath Keepers is out there to try to educate law enforcement and military personnel on exactly what it means, the oath that they took. They swore their hand up in the air to uphold. Because they all swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States against all foreign enemies, foreign and domestic. And if you were in a state organization, you also raise your hand to uphold the Constitution of the state in which you were in. However, most of them that swore to uphold those documents have never, at any time in their life, especially basic training for the military or the police academy, ever read any of those documents. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.